All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, second show of the new year, and we are welcoming back our very good friend, a hero of mine, Reverend Ted Pike, the man who has logged more guest appearances than any other in the history of this show, dating back to our inception in 2004. Now, nearly 10 years later, his appearances continue, and, as we always say, for very good reason. Of course, Ted Pike is the director of the National Prayer Network, which is a Christian conservative watchdog organization. And that being said, Reverend Pike, welcome back.
Thank you so much, James.
Well, you have written another stellar article at truthtellers.org, and the title of it is A&E's Bias Crime Against Duck Dynasty. And of course, the Duck Dynasty flap has played itself out now, and you provide for us an exclamation point on the whole story for people who were perhaps on another planet here for the last couple of weeks. I'll quickly recap what happened. Phil Robertson, who is the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty family, said in no uncertain terms, that homosexuality is sinful and illogical. And because of that very biblical and very basic conservative view of sodomy, he was raked over the coals, and they hoped to make an example out of him in a very similar fashion to that which was made out of Paula Deen. But something didn't go according to script, Reverend Pike, and that was Christians rallied behind the Robertson family, and not only did A&E reinstate Phil Robertson and the show itself, vendors like Cracker Barrel put their merchandise back on their shelves and apologized to the public for crossing the Robertsons. Now, that is not how it normally plays out, but A&E's role in this is what you're focusing on, and tell us the gist of your article.
Well, after this whole flap was subsiding, Nancy Dubuck, who is the CEO of A&E, said that one of the results of it was that A&E would be launching a massive program of spot announcements and promotion of tolerance. And of course, with the evidence of the way she had behaved, that will be tolerance of homosexuality,
sure,
not respect for the diversity of Christians. And what I do in this article is I basically point out that A&E's behavior toward the Robertsons was discriminatory, was intolerant, and it actually crossed the line over into indictable distortion of character of the Robertsons. For example, the Robertsons, Phil Robertson, in an interview with Sports Spectrum magazine, said that unknown to them, the A&E editors in Los Angeles had been inserting bleeps of profanity,
yes,
into the programs, and it required the Robertsons to discover that, but that had been going on for some time. That is a gross violation of your rights and a distortion of character. And similarly, Robertson also said that they cut out Jesus' name on a number of prayers that the Robertsons had uttered. Both of these give the impression of a double standard of hypocrisy in the Robertsons, and Phil Robertson said that he and his sons work in basically a workplace environment in contract with A&E, and what this means is that A&E has been involved in discriminatory, really abusive behavior to their employees in the workplace, which should be indictable in certain states like Colorado, Oregon, California, wherever, where if even a Christian employer witnesses to a homosexual in the workplace, it can be indictable as a bias crime.
Reverend Pike, I want to talk more about that, but while I'm thinking about it, while it's on my mind, you know, A&E would have been all too happy to bend the knee to political correctness and completely write off the Robertson and their show, Duck Dynasty. But the fact of the matter was that this show, because it is so immensely popular in the heartland and with the basic Christian people, whether they are spiritual Christians or cultural Christians. This show has a huge following. I see their merchandise everywhere, and the fact remains that this show brings in millions of dollars in revenue in sponsorships, and the people got organized for once and rallied to the defense of one of our own, the Robertson family, and they made the corporate giants back down to a great extent. My question to you is, why do we only see this sort of reaction once or twice a year? We saw it with Chick-fil-A. We saw it a few times with the hate crimes bill. Why do Christians only get organized on rare occasion when the enemy is eternally vigilant?
I asked that when I was leading the fight against the good Christian, I should say, the GCB program.
Yes, yes.
On ABC, and the Christian opposition there was virtually non-existent. It caused Rush Limbaugh to call out and say, "Where is the outrage? Here is this primetime sitcom is trashing Heartland Christianity," and. Fortunately, we were able to take the lead in that. I wrote some 21 articles. We were able to actually dramatize that the head of the whole, this conspiracy against Christianity, is an Orthodox observant Jew. And Bob Iger, head of Disney. And we were able to back them down. And
I remember that.
In fact, there were three other programs who had significantly lower ratings than GCB, and they were reinstated, but GCB was not. Now, there you had a virtual complete absence, and I think that the Christian church realized that this was an outrageous affront against Christianity, but they felt it was hopeless. They just really, there was no fight in them, and how wrong they were. With God, you know, one can chase a thousand. And I think the Duck Dynasty is a kind of a different thing in which you have an enormously popular program with great loyalty, great identification with the Robertsons and so on. And they are viewing the Robertsons as their friends who are being mistreated terribly. And something there seemed to kindle much more outrage, back in 1988, the Last Temptation of Christ similarly trashed Christianity, and there was a huge outbreak of Christian resistance to that. But it did not specify that it was Antichrist Jews in Hollywood at MCA which were perpetuating this blasphemy. And we at the National Prayer Network, we sent out a brochure to 192,000 pastors,
wow,
evangelical pastors in America, informing them that the basic tenets of the Last Temptation were nothing more than the blasphemies of the Talmud. And years later, a prominent Jewish leader said that basically as a result of what the National Prayer Network did, Last Temptation was the greatest disaster in Christian Jewish relations in the last century. So I think the moral here is that, you know, with God with us, who can be against us? And with truth with us, every Christian should be taught that they have a duty to speak out as volubly as they possibly can on internet, on talk radio, and letters to the editors, whatever it takes to get the word out. And certainly that happened with Duck Dynasty.
I think people are under the illusion that simply because 100% of the media is against us 100% of the time, that's reflective upon society as a whole. And you and I know better, Reverend Pike, because we head up respectively large organizations with the National Prayer Network and this radio program. Fundamentally, especially when you're talking about Christians, they still agree with us. A lot of them have been led astray on Israel, but that's not to say that the majority of Americans still hold fundamentally Christian and conservative viewpoints. It's not as strong as it should be, but there's certainly more of them out there, and it's more than enough to make a difference and to see this kind of result duplicate itself time and time again if they would get active as they did in the Duck Dynasty case. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to present the questions to Reverend Pike. Did A&E commit bias crimes against Duck Dynasty, and was their censorship of the program unconstitutional? Stay tuned. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards, Eddie DeBomader Miller here in studio. Our featured guest this hour, the Venerable Reverend Ted Pike. We're talking about his excellent article, which you can read at our website, but by all means, go to truthtellers.org and get it from the source. The title is A&E's Bias Crime Against Duck Dynasty. Ted, you asked two questions towards the latter part of the article. One is, was this censorship and discrimination against the Duck Dynasty family by A&E unconstitutional? And people would say, well, it's not unconstitutional because they are a private firm, and a private firm can do whatever they want. Well, tell that to the private firm that for whatever reason refused to hire a racial minority or a homosexual and tell them if it's constitutional or not. But the questions you asked, did in fact A&E commit an actual bias crime, and was their censorship and discrimination unconstitutional? Ted, your take on that, please, sir.
Yes, it would be a bias crime in any hate law country such as Canada, England, France, etc. They showed contempt for the Robertson's privacy and religious beliefs, no doubt about it. It was workplace, creating basically a deceptive or a hostile workplace environment. As far as the Constitution does not prohibit discrimination by business owners who have paid perhaps almost a bloody price in order to create that business. But what happens under bias and hate crimes laws is that the government, and this all basically started with the Civil Rights Act of 1964, in which the government comes in and says, you don't really own and control your business anymore. You can operate it, but we tell you who you must hire and who you can't fire. And so the government comes in and says, basically, you are working for the people, for the minorities, for federally protected and exalted groups such as Jews, homosexuals, Latinos, blacks, women, etc., that the government considers to be historic victims of white Christian discrimination. And so the truth of the matter is that we have an inalienable right as business operators to put up a sign that it says no shoes, no service. Isn't that discrimination against people who don't want to wear shoes? Of course it is, but that's hallowed by the Constitution. And we could, of course, go on at great length on this subject, but the fact of the matter is that really A&E did nothing that is legally wrong by terminating the Duck Dynasty program. But they did something which, according to hate law and bias crime theory, and in some states such as Colorado, Oregon, and California uphold this, they created a hostile work environment, and therefore they are hypocritical when they say that they are going to be launching a big program of anti-bias and tolerance education.
You know, Ted, this is Eddie Miller here. You know, as you and I both know, this is so-called hate crime laws are totally unconstitutional, and they have been used against our people. So we need to turn around and take the same unconstitutional laws, which is good for the goose is good for the gander. We need to scorch A&E. You know, me and James were talking about during the break about, and you're much more versed in the Bible than I am, but there's a verse in there, we've talked about it several times on the cesspool. It goes kind of like this, I'll paraphrase it. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places, against powers, against rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Ted, I'm going to run this by you, see what you have to say about it. That's what we're fighting now as a Christian nation. It's nothing new. It's been here since the beginning of time, you know. It's been here since Jesus Christ came, was crucified. Satan has always been here. He's always hated Christ. He's always hated Christians. And that's who we have right here, the synagogue of Satan coming out of Hollywood that's attacking Christ and Christians. They hate our culture. They hate Christians. That's what they're doing. They're attacking us, and they're trying to brainwash our youth. Here's the solution, you know. Our solution, here's what I'll put forth to you. It's not trying to go so much to the courts to try to attack them for discrimination. Our solution is to turn the stinking football games off, to turn the stinking shows off when they offend Christians, to vote with our dollars and not go to the movie houses, not rent CDs, not listen to the music, don't patronize the Jewish-owned banks. You know, we need to totally boycott these filthmongers out of Hollywood, and that's the power. If Christians have the power, but we will not stick together.
Well, they felt that power this week in recent days, Eddie, when people began to complain. They felt as though they were going to lose money if they did not reverse their decision on A&E, and so therefore there was that minor victory. But, Ted, your thoughts to that, and then a final thought and summation.
I have another recent article, which is the latest one that's posted at Truth Tellers, and it's entitled Four Times That Evil Jewish Leaders Fled. And in three instances, I detail how that it was more than what you're talking about, Eddie. It was publicly naming, publicly posting on the internet and elsewhere the fact that these three offensives that I talk about in this article were Jewish masterminded by Antichrist evil Jewish leaders, especially coming out of Hollywood or in pro-homosexual Jewish activist organizations. And that more than anything else, that even more than thousands and thousands of Christians complaining or boycotting, it's identifying, shining the, it's like shining the spotlight in your car on rats in a garbage dump. And you know, when we were kids, we'd go to the local garbage dump with our 22 rifles, and we would shoot rats as they'd move around in the garbage. Well, that's I'm not advocating shooting anybody, but I am saying we would shine our spotlight, and immediately we would see all these creepy little animals moving around. And that's exactly what we have to do. The people have got to start speaking up that behind these offensives against Christianity, there are people who want to destroy our Christian civilization so their own Judaic New World Order can be erected in its ashes. That's exactly what's going on here, and people have to become specific, just like Jesus was specific, just like John the Baptist was specific. They've got to forget about being afraid of being called anti-Semitic. They've got to speak out in their Sunday school classes and churches, and the internet, talk radio, that's everywhere, awesome, saying that there is a conspiracy here of evil. Not all Jews by any means, but there are evil conspiratorial Jews who want to destroy our civilization. They're using abortion, sodomy, whatever they can, hate crimes laws to take away freedom and make way for a new world order under Jewish control, ruled from Jerusalem.
Reverend Pike, you are absolutely on fire, my man. In fact, you stole a lot of my thunder. You brought up a lot of points I was going to point out. You wrote, James told me you wrote an article on Esther here recently. Let me tell you a little experience I had. It'll be 2 years ago in February. I shut a Bible school class down, and I'm not really proud of it. We used to have a Bible study on Sunday night at a mainstream Baptist church here in Memphis, and I kind of blew up during the Esther class. And I pointed out the fact, as a matter of fact, I asked the question, you know, does a Jew have to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or do they get a free pass? That's what it came down to. But the class was called early, and, you know, I created a havoc there. I came back and apologized later for creating the havoc, but not for my views, but just becoming, you know, being so aggressive about it. But Reverend Pike, one of the things I really admire about you is that you take the fight. You hit it right on the head, my man. The nail on the head.
Thank you.
We need to take the fight into the churches to educate these people that the synagogue of Satan, they're not the chosen people. It's not, and Billy Graham even said that, it's not the Christ-hating Jews. I'm not damning all Jews to hell. I can't damn them anyway. But we need to let these people to know. We need to go over and read Ephesians, the third chapter of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul said that, if you be baptized in Christ, there's neither male nor female, nor freedman nor bondman, nor Jew nor Gentile. And furthermore, the last, I don't have my Bible, but the last verse of that chapter says that, And furthermore, if you be baptized in Jesus Christ, you are a seed of Abraham and an heir to the promise. That's who the sons of Abraham are. The true sons of Abraham, as also talked about it in the chapter of John, the true sons of Abraham are the people who accept the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, and obey Him and follow His ways. And you always point that out, Reverend Pike.
Yeah, well, that's very, very true.
And Ted, we're running out of time, and I know we've drifted just slightly from the original topic of your interview, which we had basically wrapped up. But folks, read it for yourself at truthtellers.org, and I'll echo the comments of Eddie Miller. The reason you come on so much, the reason you're such a regular guest, is that no one else can lay out a case as you do, Ted, and you do it with love. You can tell your voice is that of a man who is both gentle and firm. You can tell that you are telling the truth in love when you speak, and I love you for it, and thank you for your defense of our faith and our people, and we will talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody, check him out at truthtellers.org. He was absolutely on fire tonight. I promised you a scorcher, and you can't help but deliver one when Reverend Ted Pike is your guest, but we're going to be back with another.